The AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
I'm Will Carr. Following the deadly Hamas terrorist attacks in southern Israel, reports that Israeli defense forces and Iranian-backed Hezbollah militants have exchanged fire to the north near the Lebanon border. ABC News contributor Mick Mulroy is the former Deputy Assistant Defense Secretary for the Mideast.
Hezbollah has significant military capacity. They have around 150,000 rockets and missiles. If they were to use them sequentially, it would completely overwhelm the Iron Dome system. So I don't know if we can call this a new front yet. They may be trying to put the Israeli forces in a dilemma.
The first U.S. flights with ammunition and military weapons have arrived in Israel. President Biden at the White House moments ago reiterated U.S. support for Israel.
The United States has Israel's back, and we're going to be working on this all through today and beyond.
House Republicans are voting today in closed-door deliberations to decide on a nominee for Speaker of the House. This is ABC News. NASA announced samples collected from an asteroid and delivered to Earth last month show signs of chemicals essential to life. The black dust from asteroid Bennu contains carbon, clay minerals, and water. This is NASA's first pieces collected from an asteroid and the biggest sample ever brought back. Get well wishes for Mary Lou Retton. The family of the gold medal winning gymnast says she's fighting pneumonia in a Texas hospital. Andrea Fuji reports.
The 55-year-old former Olympic champion has been in the intensive care unit for more than a week with a rare form of pneumonia, unable to breathe on her own, according to her daughter, McKenna Kelly, who updated fans on social media. Kelly is also asking for donations to help with medical bills, posting, "Out of respect for her and her privacy, I will not disclose all details. However, I will disclose that she is not insured."
As of this morning, Retton's family has more than doubled their $50,000 fundraising goal. Will Carr, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced he will file a motion to intervene in the redistricting case headed for the state Supreme Court. In a tweet, Governor Evers stated, quote, "Wisconsinites deserve fair maps, not the gerrymandered maps we have now that I already vetoed 2 years ago, and I will not stop fighting until we have a fair, independent, and nonpartisan redistricting process that ensures the people get to choose their elected officials in this state." In a tie vote, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court decided to send a case concerning admissible evidence in sexual assault trials back to the State Court of Appeals. The vote came up 3-3, with newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz not participating in arguments or the decision. The case involved a man accused of sexually assaulting his 17-year-old friend after drinking, and the issue involved the inclusion of different sexual assault allegations being admitted as other acts of evidence. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you Googled yourself lately? Are there negative posts from an ex-employee or from a former client? Maybe an outdated news article or sensitive personal information about your family? Search engines don't always get it right. But right or wrong, it's your reputation on the line. That's where Reputation Defender by Norton comes in. One of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. Reputation Defender has been fixing people's search results for over 15 years. Their cutting-edge approaches help you to wipe away unwanted information in your search results. They also promote the good stuff, so that it rises to the top, helping you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. Take control with Reputation Defender. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at ReputationDefender.com or call 800-401-6681 to speak to an expert. That's 800-401-6681.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues? continues here to this day. A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin, still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people, no machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide across the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer. It is Mr. Aaron Zommers in the booth. It is Wednesday, October 11th, 2023. Welcome into a beautiful hump day here, at least in southern Wisconsin. The sun is out.
Hump day!
Fantastic. One, right on cue. That's fantastic. Big show today. Coming up a little bit later after the break at 1:15, Trygve Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. He'll be here talking about the latest developments in the Israeli war and also what is happening out in D.C. on the speaker's race. The Republicans have at least selected a nominee. We will tell you who that is. Also coming up at 2:15, Aaron Sereno. He is the director of network operations here at Civic Media. He will join me in talk about his journey on National Coming Out Day. And at 2:30, we have Ken Bush on the environment, and also that Gen Zers are more willing to pay for sustainable environmentally sustainable products. So big show, but leading things off, our igniter here on the show, none other than Pat Kreitlow of Up North News, back from his beautiful vacation and on the banks of Lake Wissota. Mr. Kreitlow, how the heck are you?
I'm fine. I feel so bad to have to start off this show with a correction.
What did I say?
What you said, and then the sign behind you.
Yeah.
We are no longer Civic Media. I got really? the word came down mm-hmm. from the campus folks behind you there. We're now going to be the mediums of Civic. I figure if the Universities of Wisconsin is a good rebrand, I figure the mediums of Civic. Well, it was just the natural next step.
I wasn't going to go there, but as long as you brought it up, yes, Pat Kreitlow brings up a great point that the University of Wisconsin system, which I'm still going to refer to it as, decided they're going to spend a bunch of money and rebrand. Not bad enough that they're $30 million in debt, that they have layoffs all across the system. Now they're going to spend money to put lipstick on a pig and rebrand themselves from University of Wisconsin system to the Wisconsin, what was it? Wisconsin colleges?
Universities of Wisconsin.
Oh, Universities of Wisconsin.
Instead of University of Wisconsin system, it's Universities of Wisconsin. They're barely even changing it.
Right. No, but it's going to look, there's nothing in my mind, especially as a progressive, worse than when you are fighting to make sure that certain entities get the things they deserve. Mm-hmm. And then they do the equivalent of Oscar Mayer changing the Wienermobile to the Frankmobile. Because there's nothing else to do today, apparently. And look, I have tremendous respect for many people in the UW mm-hmm. system, which that name will be changed back by, 6 weeks or so.
like the Frankmobile, it went back to Wienermobile.
Exactly. It doesn't help when you're undergoing. What are we doing here? There's no image makeover that's needed. They were the good guys in this, and now you've given the people who want to attack you every reason to say, wow, we should have cut more than $32 million. Let's find out how much went into this rebranding and cut that too while we're at it.
And be clear, and you speak for yourself, I'm a big fan of the University of Wisconsin system.
I'm an alum. That's what makes this so frustrating.
Right, exactly. You know? Exactly the point. And to me, Pat, what it says, and you know this, back in the early 70s, when it was the 4 years combined with the two-year colleges to become the system, the idea was you could start at anywhere in the state and still get a four-year degree from the University of Wisconsin system. It was a joint of rural and urban across the state. The Wisconsin idea, the boundaries of the state are the boundaries of the university. And to my mind, Pat, what they've done is basically cut out any recognition of our two-year colleges, which now have been folded into the four-year, but it gets rid of this whole idea that it goes across the state, and I just don't like it.
It does make it sound, I think, more like, yeah, a bunch of silos, like the universities, rather than, you know, a system. But, you know, again, look, the mission is solid. I'm always going to be an unapologetic supporter of, you know, higher education, especially in my case, you know, the humanities. There's a lot to be said for STEM and everything else that's out there. But, you know, we need higher, we need higher education institutions that are not only top-notch, but are respected, and that respect takes a bit of a ding when you're almost fighting for your life, and you decide a rebranding campaign is the way to go.
And they stole it out. Maybe this is why they closed down the campus of Richland Center, because they kind of stole the powder blue color of the Richland campus. I mean, you're going to blue, for goodness sake, over red and white? I have to admit,
I missed that part entirely. That where's the red?
There is none.
Seriously?
They went to powder blue.
This can't be.
It is.
I mean, I was worked up about this already. Now you're telling me
they got rid of the red and white entirely. Madison, UW-Madison has always been the flagship campus of system. That's why they went with red and white. And now they got rid of red and white entirely, and they're rebranding this kind of powder blue and gray.
And hey, look, I'm an Eau Claire alum. I'm a proud blue gold, but that doesn't mean that you change the color away from your flagship. And I hate to make it about sports necessarily, but your football team, or basketball team or anything else like that. Anyway, this has all been a great exercise in marketing and, you know, when to do it and maybe when to pause.
You know, at least they didn't rename it like Z or something stupid like that.
Well, as the X was taken, right. Other places had the U. Right. So why not? They should have went with the dub.
The dub, yeah.
Yep.
Well, Jay Rothman tried to make it just a dollar sign. I guess that didn't fly with the regions. I'm not sure what that means.
It's the dub. The M is silent.
Yep. Pat Kreitlow, Up North News every morning, 6 to 8. You're fantastic. Thank you, my friend. Have a great day.
You bet.
Stay tuned. Trivia Olson's next with Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Folding a fitted sheet, programming the thermostat, matching your socks. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your home doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things like finding that missing sock. That's simple human sense. Ask NOAA Insurance Group if auto owners make sense for you.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beer. Beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies this afternoon with a high of 55. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 39 tonight, partly cloudy skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 53. Upper 40s Friday with a chance for scattered showers. Warmer Saturday with highs in the upper 40s. Chance for showers continues. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 55.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on a Wednesday, October 11th. Mr. Zommer's on the board, as per usual. Joining us, our ongoing contributor, our friend, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Trygve Olson, a former Republican like myself. Like myself, he left the Republican Party and joins us each and every week. Trygve, always a pleasure to have you along on a busy news day.
It is. There's some stuff going on. about rebranding myself, though, after that stimulating conversation y'all had.
Well, as long as we're there, what do you make of this? I mean, again, for those that might not have heard, the University of Wisconsin system, President Jay Rothman announcing yesterday that they are rebranding the University of Wisconsin system to the Wisconsin Universities. And one texter pointed out, does that mean that Marquette's included? Carroll College? Is all universities? Ripon.
That's important to Scott Walker.
Well, it appears that the answer is no, because it lists that it is there to represent 13 universities, being Eau Claire, Green Bay, La Crosse, Madison, Milwaukee, Oshkosh, Parkside, Platteville, River Falls, Stevens Point, Stout, Superior, and Whitewater.
Right. So they're just going with 4 years. Right. So they're leaving the 2-year campuses out entirely. They've gone to this weird powder blue color. The university is over $30 million in debt, Trygve. They're laying off hundreds of faculty and staff. They're under assault by Republicans over diversity, equity, and inclusion. And Senator Mark Lyne and Representative Kurtz have introduced or circulating a bill for sponsorship that would give $2 million to each 2-year or each town in which a 2-year campus has been closed. So far, Richland Center of the Richland campus and Washington County, which is merging with the tech school there, but they also appropriate an additional $2 million to put it in NFL terms for a school to be named later. So they're telegraphing that there are more closures to come. This rebranding by Jay Rothman would suggest there are.
Yeah, it sure would. I I could become Trygve, who was formerly known as Trygve, and rebrand myself as that, but it wouldn't change any of the underlying issues that are there or the positives. So yeah, right. Rebranding your show simply as Todd.
Thank you, Jeff Perry on Facebook.
You could rebrand yourself as Big Head Todd. and Zommer could be the monsters.
Yes. Very good. I like that.
Yeah. I don't get it. I really, really don't understand what they're doing. Now, ironically, I was in River Falls, as you know, for my mom's funeral and wake. And after the wake, we got done about 7 o'clock and we went down to the hotel we were staying at, the Radisson, to the bar and restaurant, Junior's, which if you're in River Falls, best cheese curds in River Falls. And the entire Board of Regents and Rothman and all his people were in the bar.
Really?
Sitting around. Yeah.
Did you say hi to him or just kind of go by?
I don't know Jay Rothman, so I didn't. I said hi to a mutual friend of ours.
All right, very good.
At the UW system, talked to him for a while, talked to the chancellor at Oshkosh. But if that was the best they could come up with, after a few drinks in the bar, I don't know what they're doing.
Well,
and to
Pat Kreitlow's point,
promote it. Don't rebrand it.
Right. And also to Pat Kreitlow's point, the money I mean, you don't do a major rebranding like this for a couple of $100. This is probably million, if not plural millions of dollars to hire a professional firm. And then you have to reprint all the letterhead, the business cards. I mean, all this stuff has to get reprinted. Yeah. It's millions of dollars when we are laying off hundreds of people throughout the system. And there are bigger fish to fry.
And we're struggling with workforce as it is.
Right.
And, you know, I was on the Eau Claire campus and I had some meetings with some people and it just reminded me about what a special place the UW system and its schools are. I don't think it's a question of rebranding them. I think it's a question of going out and doing a better job of making the case for why the Wisconsin idea matters. The fact that the four-year institutions and the two-year institutions are central cores to the communities in which they reside.
Right.
I mean, they are the essence of it, and they provide the teachers and the nurses and the people who go off to medical school and come back and be the doctors and the people at the bank and, you know, the manager of the Walmart. Like, the idea that the problem is somehow a branding issue, you know, I think this is going to end up going the way. Do you remember when the chancellor at Madison decided that jump around wasn't appropriate for the UW and how that went for them?
It lasted what, two games, something like that?
Well, yeah, they did have the student section chanting words that fall under the seven that the FCC
right.
says we can't use, literally for an entire fourth quarter and then the rest of the games next game. So
I have a feeling the UW system might be coming back, but one last thought on this before we leave the subject. I mean, if you're Jay Rothman and you're thinking about your job security, realizing that now your bosses, who are the Board of Regents, who, by the way, we never hear from anymore, the majority now have been appointed by Democratic Governor Tony Evers. And wouldn't you think that you might want to give the governor a heads up? And instead, you go to his Republican predecessor, Tommy Thompson, who, hey, I got no problem with Tommy, but they use him as the face of it in this video, and he narrates this rebranding, and Evers and the Board of Regents are completely iced out.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I really don't. I don't get why Tommy's going along with that either. I mean, it doesn't.
Because they made him the star. You know, we love him.
They made him
the face of it. So,
you know, I just wonder if Tommy's going to show up at the next Badger game in
blue,
light blue and teal, teal and gray.
I have a feeling that will not be the case.
Maybe I should ask him that on Facebook.
You should. No, oh, that'd be great.
Maybe.
Let's turn the page, if we could, and talk about something that's much more serious. And that is, of course, we've been following this all week, the war in Israel, Hamas attacking Israel. Yeah. Last weekend, we had a mutual friend of mine, I think you know Sam Gold. He used to work for the Republican Party. He is a dual U.S. citizen and Israeli citizen. Spent 3 years there in Israel working for a U.S. law firm representing American soldiers who have been victims of terrorism. He gave us his take of having lived there. We carried President Biden's speech yesterday, which I thought was a really great speech, by the way.
Huge speech. In fact, I was on another Zoom with some people, and we were talking about that speech, and you know, there is no president you have to go back to George H.W. Bush, mm-hmm. really, mm-hmm. to find a president that could talk about it that personally and with that much depth. Obama could not have done that. Trump could not have done that. And George W. Bush really couldn't do that. It hearkened to a day past, and it was a strong speech. And the truth of the matter is, you know, if you look at the rhetoric coming out of the right, when we don't have a Speaker of the House and we have two allies in Ukraine and Israel, where just absolute barbarism has been occurring, mm-hmm. decapitations, rapes, abducting of children,
beheadings.
The idea that they're, you know, if they really want to stand with Israel, stand with the United States. And right now, the president of the United States, who is leading our allies in condemning this and the world in uniting against this stuff in both places, stand with him. Mm-hmm. That's what should be done.
Agreed. What's your take, Trigvi, of someone who has spent time in Eastern Europe and, well, around the world, helping to defend democracy? What is your take on do you think if Putin and Russia had a role in helping Iran and Hamas in this attack? And do you think this is partly to distract from what's happening in Ukraine and trying to split U.S. monies and military assistance?
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. You know, there was a story I read over the weekend, I guess, after all this started, that the leaders of Hamas had been meeting with Lavrov, and who's the foreign minister of Russia. I think, you know, you have the Putin factor going on, you know, and it works to his interest. But you also have, you know, you have a series of countries, Russia, North Korea, Iran, China, who want to push back on the world order that has maintained peace and prosperity through democracy primarily for the last, you know, since the end of World War II. Mm-hmm. And certainly even more so since the end of the Cold War. And, you know, this is now a multi-front war, but we've known that really for a while. It just, I think, became a lot more real with what happened in Israel and that some of the images coming out. But the battle between democracy and autocracy is really our generation's great fight.
What do you make of the story at, coming across the wires this afternoon from Politico.com this afternoon? Multiple attendees at a meeting with the White House described, I'll just start from the top of the story. Democrats are furious at a Republican representative, Derek Van Orden, congressman of the 3rd District of Wisconsin, for a curse-laden outburst that interrupted a White House briefing on the Israel terrorist attack. Multiple attendees described Van Orden as acting belligerent toward the Biden administration briefers when he asked questions. Several people said Van Orden cursed directly at the briefers, prompting loud boos from the room. One person in the room said Van Orden shouted that the briefer's presentation was, quote, pathetic, unquote. Another described it as, quote, offensive and inappropriate. One member, Representative Dean Phillips, Democrat of Minnesota, shouted, shame on you, in response to Van Orden's verbal affront, prompting Van Orden to drop an F-bomb toward the Minnesota Democrat, who happens to be Jewish. This is just an ongoing pattern, Trigvi, of Derek Van Orden. He has anger management problems. He has a temper. And the guy is just, in my opinion, not fit for office.
Well, I think he's embarrassing to the people of the 3rd Congressional District of Wisconsin and Wisconsin more broadly. It isn't who we are. And it is who some of us might be in this moment. But, you know, he's really developing a reputation for doing that. And then he wraps himself in his service, which is laudable, but it still doesn't excuse that kind of behavior.
No, not at all. Certainly, this is an issue that is going to continue to unfold in the days ahead. We've got late breaking news about an hour ago that now Hezbollah is attacking Israel from the north, sending in, I mean, they've got these not paragliders, but these kind of propeller drones. Yeah, drones they're going in and making this a two-front war. This is going to get, we've got about a minute left or under a minute, Trivi. This is going to get, unfortunately, worse before it's going to get better.
It is going to get worse before it gets better. And quite frankly, you know, you wouldn't have the largest aircraft in the aircraft carrier in the world, the Gerald Ford, sitting in the Mediterranean, and a second one on the way if they didn't believe that this is going to get worse.
If you want to join Trigvi Olsen and I, feel free to call 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. He's Trigvi, I'm Todd. Back after this, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Heart of the St. Croix Valley. We're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. The first plane carrying ammunition from the United States has arrived in Israel as President Biden vows continued U.S. support. ABC's Selena Wang is at the White House.
The president and his national security team are working around the clock to rush military aid to Israel and prevent this from turning into a broader war. The White House says that at least 14 Americans have been killed and that at least 20 Americans are missing, but it's unclear if they're all being held hostage. The U.S. is offering to share intelligence and send experts to work with their Israeli counterparts to help with rescue efforts.
As Israel hit hundreds more targets in Gaza overnight, destroying entire city blocks, more people are coming forward talking about what happened last weekend. Yossi Schneider stumbled across footage showing his cousin and her two young children being taken hostage.
They're not warriors. They're not soldiers. They're young women's young.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin state employees gathered outside the state capitol yesterday to call on the legislature's Joint Committee on Employment Relations to move along the process of granting all state employees a 4% pay raise. According to a Wisconsin Examiner report, the raise was promised as of July 1st when the state's budget went into effect, but the raises still haven't appeared in state workers' paychecks. The committee, co-chaired by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and State Senator Chris Kapenga, has not yet scheduled a meeting to approve and release those funds. The Wisconsin Better Business Bureau is reminding residents to be on the lookout for charities that won't actually send money and resources to areas affected by the fighting between Israel and Hamas. The organization recommended food and clothing drives may be the most ideal way to support residents of the area, and residents should be wary of crowdfunding drives unless they personally know and trust the organizers. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to Big Head Todd and the Zommers.
Thank you very much, Mr. Zommer, for that introduction. The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 33 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on Wednesday, October 11th. As Trygve Olsen suggested, maybe we should rebrand the show. I think it's just fine the way it is. We have Trygve Olsen. Never want to rebrand him. He is an original from Wisconsin, worked in Republican politics for many years, like myself, and like myself, left the Republican Party. He is now the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project and joins us each and every Wednesday. Trygve, always great to have you along. Talking about before the break here, what's happening with Israel and the latest updates there, but also about one of Wisconsin's Republican congressmen, Derek Van Orden, who, according to Politico this afternoon, had an outburst in which he was profanity-laced, dropped an F-bomb to a colleague because he did not think that the White House briefing was up to snuff. which got a rebuke for both Republicans and Democrats in the room. A texter from Middleton, Wes from Middleton, listening on MDX, says of the situation of Van Orden, says, quote, as Voss would say, better candidates, better ideas. Between him and the Florida 3rd Senator Ron Johnson, we are becoming an embarrassment, unquote. So there you go. That's the thoughts from Wes. Feel free to text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it on your Apple or Android device. Feel free to give us a call as well, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones, up to beautiful Eau Claire. Jean in Eau Claire, thanks for holding. What say you?
Hi, guys. Well, he's going to be a force to reckon with because he always tries to show himself in the great light. And he was on Scripps yesterday. I made sure I called my local station and say, stop making this guy look like he's really great, because he's not. And anyhow, I called his office, and there's a nice kid that works there, young man, I shouldn't say kid. Who works there, and he sees my phone number. He knows I'm in the district, but somebody else happened to answer the phone. And he said, I want your address and your name. I said, well, you can see it on the phone. I'm calling in with a concern. You're not in this district. You call and you find your own person. We don't take calls from other districts. I said, I've been in your district, and I've called your office many times. And I want to give my input here. You need to hear from the constituents. And he hung up on me. So I called back up
again.
Wow. And he just rude as all get out, and it's like, give me a break, you know. And I thought, what is going on in that office? Now I know. Maybe he's a rampage and he does it to his staff, who knows, but the guy really can't be elected again. And I hope that anybody that can put ads on the television, because we're a lot of rural people here, to see what this guy is really like. So thank you very much, you guys, for covering this topic. He's nasty, and now it's wearing off on the people in his office. So thanks again, guys. And
thanks
for the work you do with the Lincoln Project, because I want to recommend you guys, especially on YouTube, and all the great things that's posted on the Lincoln Project. They're outstanding. So thank you again. Have a good day. Bye.
Thanks, Gene. Really appreciate it. Thanks, Gene Beauclair. Go ahead, Trigby.
You know, Gene raises a great point, which is if he's treating peers the way that he appears to be and interns that way, you got to figure you and I have been around enough legislative offices.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is probably not the kind of guy you want to be working for.
No. And we, you and I have both been around bosses who are pretty demanding, but it's never really personal. They kind of blow off some steam and you move on, and they'll come back and say, look, I appreciate you. And you go on with the day. But I've never been part, Trigby, of a legislative office where the staff was hanging up on constituents.
No, I never have either. And honestly, you know, I was thinking while Gene was talking, you know, it's poor constituent relations, but you know, can you imagine Ron Kind or Steve Gunderson ever, or Paul Ryan or
Scott Klug,
you know, Scott Klug, any of those guys treating, you know, White House staff like that?
No,
it's just really embarrassing.
It's absolutely embarrassing. And when I worked for Scott Klug, Bill Clinton was president, but we always treated the Clinton administration with the utmost respect. There are standards, as you know, and there's professionalism. Yeah. And you simply do not do that. So it's appalling. It's quite frankly appalling.
Unless you're a megalomaniac in a time of, you know,
right,
extremist megalomaniac.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go quickly across the pond to London and Jay, who listens to us in the UK. Appreciate it, Jay. What say you?
Yo, brother. How are you?
Well, how about you?
I'm good, sir. How about my man, Trigby, my good friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. Trigby, I just want to ask you a question. Who among the Republicans want to be the House Speaker? Because it's like being the House Speaker for the Republican Party. It's like a volunteering as a bomb disposal expert in Kandahar.
That's a great question. Well, apparently Steve Scalise does, but it doesn't appear that he has the votes. And, you know, I'm not sure that that's a job that's really worth having at the moment, unless you could build a centrist coalition of Republicans and Democrats to you know, at some point, what's going to have to happen here is you'd like to think there's 218 adults who are willing to put America and Israel and our allies and democracy ahead of partisan rancor and division that are going to say we're going to elect somebody as Speaker of the House. But we'll see. I think they've got to go through this process of failing multiple times first again.
Jay, as long as I have the phone before I let you go quickly, Trigvi doesn't even know this yet. I got a lovely package in the mail today from the UK, Trigvi, and Jay has been so kind as to send us authentic African shirts for you, me, Mr. Zommers, and Pat Kreitlow. And so awesome. We have to get you one next time you're in town. So, Jay, thank you very much for your kindness. We really appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know, I keep my promise. I love you guys. It's nothing. I'm not crazy. I hope you read the letter inside it. Did you read it?
I did. It was very, very kind. I'll pass it on to Trigvi off the air.
I'm not crazy, sir.
No, we know. Right. We know you're not crazy. Thank you. We appreciate your listeners. We appreciate you, Jay. Thank you so much. Trigvi, to your point, it's been released this afternoon or a few moments ago that by the way, they took a secret vote. I'm not sure if that's if you know or not, if that's been done before in caucus, but they basically took they call it a conference out there instead of a caucus, but in conference, they took a secret ballot vote, and reportedly, Steve Scalise got 113 votes, Jim Jordan got 99, and that's according to Congressman Daryl Issa, or is it Issa, of California, and that's what he said the vote was. But the problem is, you need 117 votes to get elected Speaker on the floor of the House of Representatives. They tried to offer an amendment in caucus to say that you had to get to that threshold to go to the floor. That was voted down in caucus. So it looks like it's going to be another crap show in front of the world on the floor of the House of Representatives to try to get a Speaker.
Yeah, at a time when one of our most important allies is facing a two-front war. And there, you know, you have all these Republicans demagoguing that Biden isn't leading when he gave one of the best speeches, quite frankly, that any president has given in generation, probably in a decades. And you know, I think Brendan Bach, who was Paul Ryan's press secretary, said it kind of right. The Republican Party probably isn't one that should be leading anything at the moment.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, that says it all.
Yeah, it really does. And it really is a party. And if you would have asked me this, you know, even 10 years ago, certainly 20 years ago of our former party, I would have said that's just never going to happen. But here we are in 2023. The Republican Party is unable to govern. And it's not just in Washington, D.C. It's also here in Wisconsin. And for those who missed it over the weekend, on Milwaukee television, the president of the Wisconsin State Senate, Chris Kapinga, admitted on air during an interview on the record that it turns out that the bill, the idea that Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, Republican, had here a couple, 3 weeks ago, said, you know what, I got kind of, you know, deathbed religion conversion on fair maps and put forth basically a plagiarized bill from Dale Schultz and Tim Cullen on fair maps and said, look, well, we'll pass this now if you know, you don't continue with this lawsuit in the Supreme Court on gerrymandering. So we can get this done. Chris Kapinga, the president of the Senate, Republican, over the weekend said, actually, we don't have the votes in the Senate to pass that. Trigvi, it was never an authentic offer from Voss in the first place.
No, I mean, you would think that he'd have called his colleague, given that they're both Republicans, and had a conversation. Do you think this can get through the Senate? And maybe if he was really serious about it, probably would have gone to the governor as well. You know, it's hard to know. I mean, at the end of the day, in both the U.S. House and I think in the Wisconsin State Assembly, the part of the problem that the Republican Party has is they're really two parties that exist. And, you know, we had a caller from the UK. If it were in the UK, that would be less of a big deal because they build coalitions after elections. We build coalitions before elections. And then we have a really hard time building coalitions after the elections because everybody's locked in this party sort of two-party system. Mm-hmm. That's fine, but it only works if you really have a willingness after assuming office to work either with the other side, which, you know, Republicans don't want to work with the other side, and be able to find common ground within your own side. And they can't do that either. And, you know, so the dysfunction of one of our major parties really being two parties is starting to become a real deal. And, you know, there's a lot of Republicans who care about Israel. There's a lot of Republicans who care about Ukraine and standing up to the Russians. There's a lot of Republicans who care about cutting taxes and fiscal responsibility. But the reality is the party is split in so many directions. And hence, none of those problems can get solved. And we're stuck in paralysis. And until people start saying, you know what, until they start getting things done or until they start reaching out across the aisle, we're going to stop voting for them.
Another news item from yesterday, of course, Speaker Robin Voss put together a kind of a secret panel to review whether or not they should impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz before she'd ever heard a case over this redistricting stuff. So he thought he'd be smart, right? And he got his old buddy, former Republican Speaker Dave Prosser, who is also a former conservative justice of the Supreme Court. And David Prosser, former Justice Prosser, decided he revealed his opinion. It was obtained through open records laws. And it turns out David Prosser said to Robin Voss, yeah, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit like Mike Pence having to go to Dan Quayle. Robin should have known what Prosser was going to say. I think, and if you're listening, I'm not comparing you to Dan Quayle. I'm really not. I know I just did, but, there's a lot more heft with Prosser. Here's the thing, though. I the level of trust in Voss on the Democrat side is, listeners know, I was in Madison last week because they did the show from there. I was talking to a Democrat, and while I was there, and they were convinced that Prosser was just going to be a rubber stamp for Voss.
Wow.
And I said, I will be shocked if that's the case, because that's not the Dave Prosser that I know. I don't think it's the Dave Prosser that you worked with and knew either, Todd.
Right. I mean, he got,
you know,
he
he's
got
a little... call him like you see him kind of guy.
He is. I mean, I think he went off the rails and has his own issues when he started, choking Ann Walls Bradley in her chamber. But you know, when he was in the assembly.
That's a different set of issues. Right.
But no, when he was in the assembly, he was not, I would not call him a radical by any stretch of the imagination.
No, not at all.
However, the Senate, Trigvi, we got about we're coming up. We'll get your, I'll pose the question or pose the situation, get your response to the other side. The Senate says that they do want Robin Voss to impeach Megan Wolf, the administrator of the Wisconsin's Election Commission, even though they basically have no grounds to do so. We'll get Trigvi's reaction to that, your phone calls as well. This is the Todd Allbull Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jobert's Painting and Decorating reminds listeners, slow down and drive carefully every time you take to the road, especially near parks, playgrounds, and residential areas where youngsters will be playing. Children aren't always aware of danger, so every time you take to the roads, please use the three C's. That's caution, courtesy, and common sense. And don't forget to buckle up for safety. A message from Jobert's Painting and Decorating, family-owned since 1979. They can be reached at 715-558-2202. They're reminding you that children should be seen, not hurt.
It's
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies this afternoon with a high of 55. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 39. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 53. Upper 40s Friday with a chance for scattered showers. Warmer Saturday with highs in the upper 40s. Chance for showers continues. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 55.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock, Wednesday, October 11th. Mr. Zommer is dialing up a little U2 on the show. We'll tell you why in just a minute. Trigby was out following the Packers. Went to the Sphere. Going to hear about that in just a moment, but Trigby followed up on this question, or just this observation here in Wisconsin. First of all, the Senate could ping on this same interview over the weekend. The president of the Wisconsin State Senate, Republican, says he thinks that Robin Voss and the Assembly ought to start impeachment proceedings against Megan Wolf, the administrator of the Wisconsin Election Commission, even though that the courts have said that there's no basis for this. Attorney General Josh Call is saying no, he's defending it, saying there's no basis for this. Megan Wolf simply was the administrator. Any decisions made by the commission were part of the commissioners. And oh, don't forget, one of those commissioners, Spindell, is part of the fake electors. So, I mean, this is just a circus trick.
Yeah, I mean, and then again, you know, like the whole impeachment thing, it becomes, we're going to impeach. And then what happens is when you really need to impeach somebody, right, it's right. Just kind of lost its meaning. And, you know, they don't even have the grounds to do it. It's ridiculous.
It is. It's absolutely pathetic. And
by the way, Todd, did I tell you that? So I am with my sister, and we're organizing bouquets for my mother's wake. Mm-hmm. And there's just a gigantic bouquet. And I'm like, wow, that was really nice. Who sent this to us? And I opened the card. I sent you a picture of the bouquet. I didn't send you who it was from, but Republican Party of Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah. And I kept wondering to myself, are they giving me the proverbial finger by sending that? Or are they trying, or is our buddy Brian trying to say, hey, we're really not bad guys?
You know what? I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say the latter. I mean, I've said this before on the show. I've said it to you off the air. We both know Brian Schimming very well, the chair of the Republican Party. So. And look, I've had, because the guy doesn't drink, he has a Diet Coke. I've sat and had Cokes with him. I've had dinner with him. As a person, you know, he's a fine guy. It's just that politically, and when he starts interfering and being a part of fake electors, I just think the guy has gone down a tragic road that he somehow a tailspin he can't get out of. But
and that he knows then that he knows isn't right. It was really, really nice, given all that my mom had done for the party. But it was funny that the fact that I even had the first thought, you know,
right, exactly.
Was like, it says a lot about that. And actually my sister was like, well, that's incredibly nice. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, well, they're sending that because all mom did, and probably a message and a reminder that he is in fact not a bad guy.
Right.
But that's part of the problem with what we face, because then when, you know, ideas get perpetrated by elected officials to impeach people who they're not even supposed to be impeaching, then people get dragged into it.
Exactly. Was there a disclaimer on the card paid for by RPW?
No, there wasn't. I got a nice note. I got a lot of nice notes, too.
Again, our condolences.
Which gave me heart. It made me heart that it's not personal.
Yeah, exactly. And again, our condolences for the show. We appreciate you being on last week right after your mother passed. And our thoughts and prayers continue to be with you and your family.
She would have wanted me to do it. She was really proud that I get to talk once a week.
Well, we are happy to have you here. Well, speaking of family, you went with your daughters and took them to the Sphere, the brand new place out in the desert in Las Vegas. You saw U2. You saw the Packers. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so, you know, when the schedule comes out, so my daughters and I are trying to go see the Packers play in every stadium. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of, I was trying to think of a good dad-daughter thing to do, and, you know, I thought that would be good until they became Chiefs fans because of Taylor Swift. But, no, they still love the Packers. But, you know, I was looking at right when the schedule came out, they said, my younger one said she wants to go to Vegas, which is a whole nother question about what she's going to be doing when she's 21. But I was looking online, and like 2 days later on Facebook, I get this thing, see U2 at this place called the Sphere, you know, right before the day before the game. And I was like, well, that's a pretty good deal. So I clicked on it and I thought, awesome, they'll get to see U2. Mm-hmm. I didn't really understand what it was until after it opened. And then that is an amazing venue. I mean, mm-hmm. it if you get an opportunity, I would say, and it's still expensive, but better to be in a position to buy tickets from the Venetian rather than on the secondary market, because that's and I was lucky in that regard. Yeah, it was incredible.
I've heard the venue
is nuts. It's like being in an IMAX that surrounds you everywhere, and then you have the band right down there. Wow. And it's also set up so that every single seat has speakers pointed directly at them.
Wow.
And they actually walk around with laptops beforehand testing the sound to make sure that it's hitting.
In case you're not familiar with what Trigman and I are talking about, it was built not for sports like a lot of venues are. This was built specifically for concerts and music. And it literally is, it looks like a ball or a sphere. Mm-hmm. And there's all these lights. Basically, it's a big digital billboard. They can put any photo on the outside and then the same thing on the inside. So it's a sensory overload from what I've heard.
Right. It was. And, you know, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Joshua Tree came out. I was in college. Yeah. I was never a big U2 guy. But I will say, having now seen them live, I have a much greater appreciation for why people were so into U2.
The Packer game was a bust. I really don't want to talk about it that much. It was not a good game for the Pack. By the way, our friend Scott Walker was out there. Did you see he was tweeting out there in the desert? Did you run into him at all? Yeah,
he was. I did not.
He was there for the Packer game.
I was at all of the. We went to Charlie Barron's the night before, and I didn't see him there. Although maybe Charlie's not his cup of tea. Although Charlie Barron's is awesome.
He is.
And you know, I will say this: if Charlie Barron's is listening, or I know we have some people that we know who are mm-hmm. on Civic that are friends with Charlie, he's got a song out now about LaFleur being the flower of the Lambeau Field, and my daughters sat and sang that incessantly. And he did me no favors. He might have a hit, but honest to God. I didn't see Scott. That would have been awesome to run into Scott. I guess he wasn't hanging out at the tailgate.
I guess not. Less than a minute left. Your quick impressions. Aaron Rodgers saying he wants to, this is true. This is true. On Pat McAfee's show, wants to do a debate with Rodgers against Travis Kelce and Dr. Fauci on vaccines.
Yeah, and think about that for a minute. I mean, honestly, that is Aaron Rodgers simply trying to drift off of the fact that Travis Kelce's dating Taylor Swift.
Exactly.
That is what it's about.
Perhaps appropriate.
A search for relevance. Know when to exit the stage, Todd.
Perhaps appropriate on National Coming Out Day. We'll talk about that in hour number two. Mr. Trivi Olson, appreciate you being here. Thank you so much, my friend, for the Lincoln Project. Have a great day. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Thanks.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.